And our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, on page 994, if you have a church Bible and you are going to follow. Jesus said, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who'd received the 1 talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you haven't sown, gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. Here, see, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered seed? Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I'd have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Well, I wonder if the astute among you have a sense of déjà vu. We had that reading 2 weeks ago, didn't we? We did, when Henry came to speak. But he didn't actually speak particularly on that gospel passage. He spoke on the passage from Thessalonians instead. And it's perfect for Advent Sunday, which is today. And it's also perfect for Thanksgiving Sunday, which is also today. So that is the reading that I'm going to speak from. And for those of you who are here, was Henry not on sparkling form? Still wanting at the age of 79 to make an impact. Still wanting at that age to make a difference. And it seems to me that that is what this parable is all about. The key question is, what have you done, says God, with what I gave you? And that's what we'll unpack this morning. But the first thing to say as a sort of preamble is it's really, really important that we grasp that this is not about our eternal salvation. Because there is a misconception that has arisen in the church at times, particularly, I would say, in the Middle Ages, that our souls are weighed and God will see, well, how much good have you done and how much bad have you done and how does that weigh out to see whether you're going to glory or whether you're going to destruction? This is the judgment scene over the door of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, which shows you the souls being weighed. That is a Muslim doctrine, as I was preaching a couple of weeks ago at the 10:30 service. It's not a Christian doctrine, because what we believe, what the Bible teaches, and hopefully what you know, is that the cross outweighs everything we have ever done. When God puts our good deeds and our bad deeds on a scale, we say, "Lord, I claim the cross of Jesus," and clunk, the good deeds outweighs anything on the bad side. Anything at all, however much you've done, the cross outweighs it and says, you're saved, as Henry said. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will be saved. That's crucial that we get that. This passage and the passage about the sheep and the goats are not about whether you, if you're in Christ, will get into heaven or not. You will. And if you're thinking, how do I know for sure? Then think of the thief on the cross next to Jesus. The thief on the cross said, we deserve this punishment. We are getting what our deeds justify. He knew that on his scale, the bad way outweighed the good. And Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Well, he hadn't had any time to go off and do a load of good deeds, had he? Says, and by the way, while I'm on the cross, I give all my goods to the poor, and if anyone there I've hurt, I'll come and sort you out. No, he didn't have time. All he said was, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Faith. This was the great discovery of the Reformation, rediscovery. Faith outweighs anything on the other side of the scales. So you can be sure of that. You are saved. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will be saved if you are in Christ. But the Bible also teaches that there are different rewards. It doesn't explain it terribly clearly. It just hints at it. And if you want to check this out, go in your homework is go and look at 1 Corinthians 3, which tells you the same thing using different metaphors, different imagery. But that's what the picture is here, of different rewards in the kingdom, in heaven, for what we've done. And there are so many great jokes about this. I told one at 8, different one for 9 o'clock. So the vicar and the assistant minister in any church are on their way to Dawson training when sadly they're killed in a car crash. And the assistant minister turns up at the pearly gates and Peter says, welcome, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in, come in. Your mansion is prepared. And she thinks, great, that's right. Can't see the vicar anywhere. Perhaps he got here first. Anyway, and Peter says, obviously, heaven is vast. So we give you some transport to get around. And the transport you get depends on the life that you've lived and what you've done with what we gave you. Okay, she says. Here, he says, is your mini, and gives her the keys. She goes, oh, a mini, right, okay. He says, well, you need to understand, Rolls Royces are very, very rare. Very few are those who get those. So, you know, mini's pretty good. She goes, well, okay, it's a bit small, though, you know. He goes, well, you've got plenty of time to get used to it. But it's quite tricky, and, you know, working out the gears and fitting herself in this little tiny little car. And as she pulls away, she almost knocks over the vicar going past on his bicycle. The question is, what did you do with what you were given? And we've all been given different things. And as human beings, when we look at one gets 5 talents, one gets 2 talents, and one gets 1, we often say, that's not fair. Why has she got 5 and I've only got 1? Why does Fiona de Quitt get this ability to have pictures and words for people and I strain and listen and think and can't come up with anything? Why is it that Derek Strathern can look at a sheet about pensions and understand it and I look at it and even when he's explained it and Steve Proctor's explained it, I still don't understand it? It's not fair. Why is it that Bronwyn Christie can remember people's names from 1 week to the next and 1 month to the next? And I say to someone in the welcome area, hello, have we met before? And they said, you said that last week. Oh. And it's easy to say, it's not fair. They've got, I want that. They've got what I haven't got. In the parable, the point is not what have you been given compared with other people. The point is what are you doing with what you've been given? Some have been given 5, some have been given 2, some have been given 1. It's not up to you. God says, what are you doing with what you've been given? And Fiona gave a lovely illustration of this last Sunday when she was sharing at the 9 o'clock how she hadn't been using that gift of hearing from God and having messages for people. And how she thought, do you know what? I've not been using that lately, and rediscovered it. And the joy of using the gift that we've been given. And I know those who've come back to this church because of Bronwyn Christie remembering their name. I said, oh, that was the first lady that said hello to me. And the PCC at every meeting says, we are so grateful to you, Derek Strathern, for understanding those figures that we struggle with. God loves that. God loves to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But it's not just abilities. It's also, it seems to me, as we look at that parable, it's about opportunities. The master goes away and says, look, I'm leaving you in charge. I'm leaving you with this responsibility. What are you going to do with it? You've got opportunities now. And one of them says, hey, that's great. I can make this money work and I can do something with it. And one of them thinks, oh, no, 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 this is all too much for me. I'm going to hide away. And God gives each of us different opportunities, different possibilities from who we are and the place where we live and the situation that we have of our life, but also day by day from the people that we encounter. And you are unique. You're not, your circumstances are not like mine. Your opportunities are not like mine. And there are people that you know that I've never met. There are people that you live among who I just don't know and will never know. And God gives us wonderful opportunities to show his love to others, uniquely, daily. And you know that story about hiding your light under a bushel that Jesus says? Often we use that to mean, well, you've got some skill or talent, you know, and you hide it under a bushel. That's not what it meant originally. It was showing the light of Christ to others, putting it on a stand to give light to everyone in a house, not hiding it away. And so often, I don't know about you, but so often I come away from conversations and think, why didn't I say that? Wish I had asked that question. It especially happens when I come back from baptism visits and Heather quizzes me on what I said and didn't say. And she says, why didn't you ask them about that? I go, well, I just forgot. I didn't think of it at the time. Ah. And one that I think of particularly, I can't remember if I've shared this in a sermon before, but I went to the opening of the Vikings exhibition at the British Museum because I'd written for the catalogue. I had the privilege of being at the preview. And I was wearing my dog collar, and I was standing next to Grayson Perry, the artist who dresses in drag. He was in a frock. I was in my dog collar. I wanted a selfie, but I didn't dare ask. And I'd seen the way that he'd kind of brushed off the person before him who was gushing. Oh, Mr. Perry, your work. Oh, Mr. Perry, it was wonderful. So, yeah, thank you, thank you. So I didn't go up to him. And I thought afterwards, it's always about an hour later for me. An hour later, I thought, wouldn't it have been good if I had gone up to him and I said, do you know what you're looking at? Because he was standing in front of this huge stone, right? I mean, a replica of it, because it's too big to ship from Denmark. But it's called the Yelling Stone, and it has around it the inscription, that king, Harold, in fact, Harold Bluetooth, won for himself Denmark and Norway and made the Danes Christian. And it has this weirdly glorious piece of Viking art of Christ crucified, being bound up in Viking-style beasts and foliage. Wouldn't it have been good to say, do you know what you're looking at? Do you understand what this is? But I missed it, and I thought of it an hour later. I missed that opportunity. It will never come again. But I contrast that with Heather, who got back late from Sainsbury's the other day with her shopping, because at the checkout, instead of saying, oh, how much is that? Here, yeah, here's the money. She said, how are you? And this checkout, the cashier, poured out a story of woe, of how her husband had rejected her in favor of a younger model and was in danger of making her homeless. And Heather listened and cared and said at the end, well, I'm a Christian, I'll pray for you. Not then and there, because that wouldn't really have been appropriate for the people with their trolleys behind going. But, you know, seizing the opportunity, listening to God and being aware. God says, what are you doing with what you've been given? And I know I need to pray, Lord, give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and the courage to seize the moment when opportunities come. But actually, the parable is about money. A talent in those days was a large sum of money. He gives sums of money to those three servants. And so God gives us not just abilities, but opportunities with our money. And the question again is, what are we doing with what we've been given? Again, so often we compare. You say, well, I can't do very much of what I've been given because, frankly, I haven't been given a lot. But each one of us has responsibility to answer the question, what are you doing with whatever amount you've been given? I had a friend when I was a curate, Matthew, who used to drive me in his turbocharged Volvo to post-ordination training, as it was called in those days. And one day, as he was accelerating up a hill around a blind bend, he was saying to me, you know, I don't actually need to do this job. I said, really? He said, no, I made enough money. He was 30, as was I. Enough money when I was at college buying and selling companies not to ever have to work again. I went, really? I went, yeah. He said, actually, you know, it is quite a burden having that much money. I said, Matthew, brother, let me share your burden. But for some reason, he didn't take that opportunity. But it's true that with great wealth goes great responsibility. With a small amount of wealth goes a small amount of responsibility. The question for all of us is, what are we doing with what we've got? And I noticed that what the master says to the servant who buried the talent, who did nothing with the talent, is, well, the least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers. And I chose the Message translation because I like that word, invest. It's what it means. And what I want to do with my money, as with the gifts God's given me, as with the opportunity God gives me, is invest it for the kingdom. Because that's what we do when we give to God's work. We're investing in the kingdom. So for us personally, we invest in Tear Fund. And we did that, I'd just like to say, before our daughter started working for them. Because we think it's a great organization, and we've both been blessed by visiting projects they do around the world. We invest personally in New Wine because it's blessed us so much as individuals and as a church. We invest in a couple in Colombia. I met the wife at New Wine, and she's married a Colombian guy, and they are passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus with young people in Colombia. And obviously, as you will know from your news sheet, Pippa and Heather are investing in HHA, in the work that's going on, particularly in Haiti, which they've seen for themselves and are passionate about. Now, in all those things, we think this is a great way to bless what God is doing, and we are giving to that, to invest in that work. And obviously, we invest in St. Paul's as well. We think there's some quite good stuff going on at St. Paul's. We want to invest in that. We want to put our money into this and say, this is great and God can use it. And as I put in the news sheet last week, we're particularly paying more this year because for the first full year, we've got Jen as our youth pastor. And we didn't have that before. And for the first time since February, we're paying staff pensions, which we didn't have before. So it costs more. So we're investing in those things because we think there is good news for the kingdom. There is a harvest here that we are investing in. Some of it we may not see for ourselves. Some of it is for the long term. That's often the way with the banks when you invest it with the bankers, isn't it? The master was away a long time. We don't always see the returns. But we're investing because we know it's a good thing for the kingdom. And there are different models of deciding how much you give. I believe it was one of the Wesleys who said, I work out exactly how much I need, and then I know that my income will rise in future years, but I don't need more. So I will be able to give away more in future years because that's what I need and the rest is for God's work. The biblical suggestion in the New Testament is a tithe, that we set aside a tenth of what we have. Glyn and I disagree. I was convinced by a speaker who came here some years ago and spoke about giving a tenth of the church and other things beyond that. Glyn reckons it's a tenth of the whole thing. I'm not going to argue with him on that. But whatever we decide, let's do it wisely and let's do it intentionally. And there are extra things that we can do that will help boost what we give. If we're a taxpayer, if we pay gift, if we fill in one of those gift aid forms, then the government is actually giving the church money. And Derek can tell you, it's large sums, it's tens of thousands each year that the government is giving St. Paul's Church. Not out of their generosity and largesse, but because we have given that money to them in taxes, and they're just giving it back. If we make out a standing order, rather than remembering to put some money in the box, then Derek knows it's coming in week by week and knows how much, so that helps him. And as we're talking about investing, what about remembering in our will, the church? We have been blessed over the years by legacies through those who've died, who've said, yes, I want to give something back. And that is something that we can all do because I hope we've all got a will. It's a really good thing to do, and mine's out of date, and I'm talking to myself here. I know we need to rewrite it. But the returns for our investment are literally out of this world. Bad joke. But I long to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. when he asked the question, "What have you done, Simon, with what I've given you?"